Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code HAMNATION when you check out. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HAMNATION. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HAMNATION.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 219, October 21st, 2015. We bring you the brand new Comet Analyzer. Hello, everybody. We're back from California, and here I am again at the Heil Sound plant, and fired it all up. We're all here tonight. Well, we're kind of here, but Don's having camera problems, so we'll only hear Don tonight, but he will be here. And we've got a really great show tonight. We got some really good videos. Randy is back. Gordo and I found Randy. No, Randy really found us. And you'll see some things from him. I'm finally going to get around to showing you the Comet install, the vertical, and a better view of their great analyzer. Got that coming up. And we're really excited about that, that their new analyzer something. But before we get going, let's go see what's going on in Costa Mesa first and get around the horn. How you doing, Gordo? You made it back okay?
I did, and no mud would keep us from making it to PacificCon with details shortly. Back to you, Bob. We're fine.
Okay. And George, how you doing? Everything all right at the big transmitter?
Everything's going pretty good, Bob. Unfortunately, the internet is not so good here tonight. So while you won't be able to see Don tonight, you'll just wish that you couldn't see me.
Well, you're okay. You're okay. And it's really great to have you guys. Amanda's here, and we're going to be having a good time. What can I tell you? There's lots going on tonight, but, the most important thing tonight is Valerie's going to be here. She's got a great DX report, so Valerie's back. But before we really get cooking, I want to remind everybody, today is Back to the Future Day. Remember, they said October the 21st, 2015. That was back in 89, I think it was, in the first movie. They were in Hill Valley, California at 4 o'clock, 4:29 was the time on the dash. And here we are. And we're already back to the future and starting on the next one. But they did have several things. There you go, right there. Yeah. They brought us the hoverboard, and they had a video camera in their hand, and the car that flew. And they had smart clothes that warmed up and got cold. They had stuff that's really cool. But I'll tell you one thing that started with that particular movie. It was the first movie that they had product identification that they had to pay for. Nike and Pepsi. Just a little piece of trivia. I learned that today when I was watching the guys and gals on the Fox News. They were talking about that. And so there you go. But hey, it was a great movie. I enjoyed it a lot. We all did. I'm sure we did. We did one thing at PacificCon. Here's a picture of it. If Brian can get it together there for me, that was the morning breakfast that Gordo did, And then we segued into my workshop. Look at that. There's, I think, a couple of hundred people. They're not all visible in the back. We were very, very happy to see everybody there. And I should have had them keep their hands up. A good three quarters of those people are Ham Nation viewers, and we appreciate that. So thanks to all of you. Hats off. And I told you you were going to make it on the show, so here you are. I turned the camera around, took a picture of them. But, hey, we had really good times, let me tell you. We had a really good time. But we're fortunate that we have a great audience. So, Gordo, what was the best thing that you saw at PacificCon? And I know you had a good time.
We had a great time. And probably the best part of PacificCon were the hams. You know, they were just so nice, so technical, being in Silicon Valley. It was the hams. But before we cover PacificCon, I want to talk about a small ham fest that is just as important as the big PacificCon ham fest. This one coming up nearby, Arizona State Ham Fest in Kingman. We'll be there Friday and Saturday. This Friday and Saturday in Kingman, Arizona. So for those of you out in the desert, we sure hope to see you. And on this Sunday, the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club is doing, on the 25th Sunday, their Limar Cam Fest. And they have one session on getting newcomers on the air by helping them select the right radio and putting that radio into the program mode. And look at Nifty. They've got brand new program guides for some of the latest gear, the ICOM ID51A and Yaesu, the new FTM400DR. They do a fabulous job at Nifty because all of these radios are coming out one after another. But probably the toughest radios for any new ham to try and figure out are the handhelds coming out of China. And I love the Chinese handhelds, but I don't appreciate that we don't see the Chinese manufacturers at the big ham shows. So we'll talk about that later. But Limark will be a good one for doing programming for those new hams. Have a great Sunday, Limark. I'll see everybody this Friday and Saturday at Arizona. Now, let's go ahead and roll the videos, just actually short shots on the activities. Now, that is Tracy, WA6ERA, our steadfast driver and helper and organizer and fellow ham radio instructor that helped us with Instructor Academy. He said he was going to bring a big vehicle, and he did, but every time we would pull up to a ham's house to visit, they thought it was the FBI coming. So I think we got too fancy of a car. But all of us made it up there on Highway 49. The Benicia Amateur Radio Club on that Thursday night had a real get-together. We were at their firehouse, and it's wonderful when hams can go all out, bring us on in, and meet up, and I was really pleased to see their Emergency Operations Center. It's a good one, and I hope to do the same thing this weekend at the Arizona State Ham Fest in Kingman, because Emergency Communications, that's us, Part 97.1, the fire department in Benicia also moved all their vehicles out so we could get the 50-plus hams in. Man, I'll talk about a served agency working closely with hams. Well, I tell you, it made my day. And, of course, made my day. We had earthquakes to go along with it. We had a swarm of earthquakes. Bob and I were hanging on like mad. There's Bob in the background, and we had a fun time at PacificCon. The folks that came up, the caliber of those that were presenting themselves to us was superb. Bob and I tried to dress the part, and it was great. So PacificCon, you outdid yourselves. It was fun to meet everybody, and it was nonstop from when we got there late Thursday night all the way till Saturday afternoon. And here he is, Randy, out of nowhere popped in. And Randy, we can't wait to see your upcoming videos. And there were all sorts of rock stars, and you name it, at PacificCon. So PacificCon, a couple thousand ham radio operators plus kids they really had an emphasis on kids. And here the kids are ready to start soldering. They did put on their soldering glasses, their protective lenses, before they got things all warmed up. That was a preliminary shot. So be assured that they were safe and they were soldering some fun stuff. So Pacificon, you outdid yourself, and Bob and I so much thank you for being as outgoing as you were, getting us in, and I'll see everybody this weekend in Arizona at the Arizona State Ham Fest in Kingman. So Bob, my voice is back. Back to you.
Yeah, you lost your voice at the end of that show, maybe the middle of it. Well, as we said, we found Randy. We're going to go right to his video because they tell the story. So, Randy, nice to have you back, man. I know it's a tough thing in moving the house and all the equipment, but glad to see. He edited this in his hotel room, everybody. I mean, what a trooper.
Oh, wow.
Let's roller, Brian. What happened at Pacificon?
Hi there, Randy, K7AGE again, and look who I found at Pacificon.
Whoa.
Whoa.
It's Randy. We wondered where he went.
That's what we found is Randy.
Yeah, look what we found.
I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. I've been busy moving everybody. That's why there's hasn't been videos for a while, but hopefully I'll get situated up in Oregon soon.
Well, it's so good to see you. So good to see you.
Oh, I miss you guys and being part of the show every week.
No, so. we held this spot. It's reverence just for you.
We do. Randy, you are a fixture at Ham Nation, so hurry back when you get your new digs in. And look at this show, Bob. What a show.
This is incredible.
First day.
Yeah. First day usually is kind of big. Not here.
No.
Haven't had a spare moment, but that's okay. People with a lot of questions. And you know what's really great? I would say at least 75 or 80% of the people have come here. Talk about Ham Nation, and we're very, very excited about that. And we're getting young people, we're getting the older hams, women, everybody. I'm so blessed because thank gosh that Ham Radio has Leo Laporte to keep us on the air and all the sponsors. And thanks to the people that watch the show and support us. It's really
something. The viewers that really count?
They're the ones that we do this for.
So.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been great. The Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club really pulled off another winner at our old location.
Yeah, this location's really great. It's one of the better. That's great. Well, thanks for coming by.
Yes, thanks. And now back to the show.
Now you got to figure out where
back
to get
to the show.
Get to, time to edit all this, right?
Yes, before Wednesday night, yeah.
Okay, we'll see you there. So long, everybody.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Give me your call again.
Yeah, November 9, Echo Tango Bravo. Name here is Earl. Echo Alpha Romeo Lima. QTH is Illinois. I've got you 59.5/9 QSL.
Okay, very good, Earl. November 9, Echo Tango Bravo and W1AW Portable 6.
Hello, I'm Randy, K7AGE, down at Pacificon, and I'm here with Rick, N6DQ, at the W1AW Portable 6 Special Event Station. And we have, what, 5 stations, I believe.
Right, 5
and
stations.
And what's unique about what we're doing here, what you're doing here, running 5 stations?
Well, we have the W1AW Portable 6 call sign. So we're trying to get as many people on the air, new people and people experienced, as possible with that call sign. And the idea would be is to put as many stations as you can on with essentially one antenna, all working at the same time with high power.
Okay. Did I hear that correct? 5 stations on one antenna at the same time with high power.
Correct. That's correct. Yes.
Oh, okay, so everybody wonders, how do you do that?
Well, you have a lot of filters, number one. Number two, I like the hex beam antenna.
Okay.
Reasons being that, first of all, it's a full-sized antenna. There are no traps to burn out. It's easy to put together in a portable situation. Mm-hmm. And what I've done is fairly unique. I'm sure that other people have done it. But I separate the feed lines for 17 meters, 12 meters, and 6 meters.
Okay.
And run those separately down to the stations here. And I have a single feed line for 20, 15, and 10, which also run down here to a high-power triplexer.
Okay.
The 17, 12-meter, and 6-meter elements of the hex beam go to separate high-power bandpass filters as well.
Okay, so we come down with 10, 15, and 20 on a single coax, go through a triplexer, which turns it into...
Separates into 20, 15, and 10.
For each band, and then through a high-power bandpass filter.
Correct.
Because we're running 500 to 1.5 kilowatts.
Correct.
Through these bandpass filters.
Yep. Yep.
And that means everybody can operate without...
Hearing each other. Yeah. It gets a little bit tricky because 17 is so close to 20 meters, 14 mm-hmm. to 17. And if it's a little bit further away on 15, but 15 has a tendency to get into 12 meters.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes we have to actually add additional filters between the transceiver and the linear.
And the amplifier.
To actually steepen the skirts. You know, every time you knock it out, when it doesn't have to go through another amplifier, it doesn't get amplified.
Okay, so who manufactures these filters and where are they from?
They're from Montenegro over in Europe. It's the old Yugoslavia, part of the breakup. And they're made by a company called 403A.
403A. So yeah. Everybody Google that to see what
If you Google 403A, you'll get the filters.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are you using for radios?
Some 756 Pro 2s and 3s. Then I have the NRAD roofing filter mod put in them.
Okay.
Which narrows them from 15 kilohertz on the input to 4.5.
Okay.
Otherwise, we couldn't do this. Okay. It would be too wide.
So you have a selection of different radios.
Different radios. Right now, we also have a newer radio, the 7600.
76, okay.
And a 746, an old-timer over here,
yeah.
For 2 meters.
For 2 meters.
On sideband.
Okay, and the amplifiers are?
Oh, the amplifiers, that now defunct company, Tokyo High Power.
Oh, no, yes.
Yeah, but they weren't defunct when I got them.
Yeah.
But we have three 550-watt amplifiers, and one 1.5 kilowatt.
Okay.
So.
And, of course, you have computers for all the logging.
Yeah, old XPs.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
And you were explaining you run those off of UPS, so in case you have any power problems.
Yeah, we're pretty uncertain here on our power situation here at Pacificon.
Yeah.
So rather than take the chance, and especially the CQP, 1 year we didn't have UPS backup on the computers, and we blew something.
Oh.
And I had to start over again. That was painful. Very painful.
Okay, well, thanks for your time, Rick.
Thank you.
Here at Pacificon.
Yep.
And back to the Ham Nation show for tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's great. Rick is an amazing guy, and my hat's off to him because that was a lot of work for he and the team to put together, but we appreciated it, and they had a great signal out there, I'm sure. Well, I saw in the chat room a couple of people I worked them. Super duper. Keep up the good work, Rick and Randy, of course. We appreciate all your work, and we'll look forward to some videos soon again. We're going to try to connect here with Don. He's having camera problems, but I bet he doesn't have microphone problems. Don, how you doing? Want to talk about Harry, I bet you.
That prick picture. Yeah, I'm here. You know, the problem is, I think, is just I just look too doggone good from my hairy shave that I just blew my camera out. And that's not a bad problem to have. Now, let me tell you about Harry's. Harry's is fixing a problem that a lot of us have, and that's paying too much for overpriced razors. Shaving is no fun. You get cut. You scrape yourself. And the main culprit is dull blades. And blades are expensive. That's, you know, the little razor doesn't cost hardly anything at all, but you buy those replacement blades. They're about $4 a shot. And if you shave every day, you could spend hundreds of dollars a year just on blades. The big name brands like the Fusion from Gillette. And of course, you go to the store, they're so expensive that they're locked up behind plexiglass, and you almost have to have a prescription for the doggone things. It's a pain. Well, Harry's is taking care of all of that. High quality razors, about half the price of the big brands, because they make their own razors in their own factory in Germany. They're engineered for sharpness and high performance. You know the whole deal about German steel. It's the best in the world. And Harry's will ship those world-class blades to you for free. They will land right on your front doorstep. And because they make and ship their own blades, Harry's is an extremely efficient company. And that means you get factory direct pricing. And in each kit, you get a razor, and your satisfaction's guaranteed, by the way. In each kit, you get a razor, a handle, looks and feels amazing, three blades, and foaming shave gel. And the Truman set starts at just $15. It's an amazing deal. I've been using Harry's for a while, and as I say, every time we talk about Harry's, I am a confirmed electric guy. I always hated shaving with a blade, but Harry's changed that because First off, I have the set that's just above the Truman. It's a nice metal, chrome metal blade. The Truman blade is a plastic handle, but you're going to love it nonetheless. If you want to, you know, spend a few bucks more, like 10, 15 bucks more, and get the metal blade, you can certainly do that. But the $15 blade is the one that you're looking at there, $15 handle. Just amazing, the Truman set. I see my hairy shave as something that I do for myself. I pamper myself. If I'm going someplace special, I will whip out the Harry's and I'll give myself a nice, clean, close shave. And the added benefit is that my wife, Dawn, loves my Harry's face. Not hairy face. Not hairy face. Harry's face. Let me tell you something. She has her own Harry's razor, so it's not just for us guys. And they have aftershave moisturizer, too, that will protect and hydrate your skin. It's a great product. It's a great company, and they're cool people, and you're going to love it. Go to Harry's.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Get $5 off your first purchase with the code HAMNATION. That's Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter code HAMNATION at checkout. And Harry's, thank you so much for being a part of Ham Nation. Okay, well, I'm certainly not live video. I am Memorex. Could you find a better picture than that, Brian? No, actually don't, because I know what you're going to pull up, and it's not going to be attractive. Why don't we just go to an actual moving picture of me, and let's check in with Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1981. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 21st, 2015. The team of T-42 U.S. operating October 24th and 25th from Havana, Cuba, won't be just another group of competitors in the CQ Worldwide SSB contest. They're a historic collective of radio ambassadors, a partnership of American and Cuban hams whose joint effort symbolizes the newfound ease in relations between the two nations. Jim Milner, WB2REM, is the U.S. team leader.
This is totally a non-political sort of operation. We as ham radio operators are diplomats. It's just a perfect opportunity to get in there and to present a good side of the American people through ham radio. I approached the Treasury Department for a general license, and within a few weeks, surprisingly, they granted it under exhibition status. There's different levels that you can go there, at least at this time. One of them was competition. The competition that we thought would be appropriate would be the CQ Worldwide DX Contest SSB in October. So once I had that permission, I had the obstacle of trying to find out how to get there and to find someone that might sponsor me down there. And I really had no idea how to go about it. Just by luck, I hit the vice president of the FRC, the Cuban Federation de Radio Aficionados Cuba. He contacted the president of the organization, Mr. Rodriguez. And at the same time, I enlisted the help of K1ZZ, Dave Sumner, CEO of the ARRL. And he sent a personal letter of recommendation to Mr. Rodriguez on my behalf. He in turn put me in touch with Roberto Ibarro, CM2KL. We decided on the call Tango 42 US, which we also have a website, tango42us.com, which has a lot of the information of our expedition on that website.
Thanks to Hap Holly, KC9RP, and the Rain Report for that audio. Again, the website is t42us.com. Pope Francis' visit to Washington, D.C., New York, and Philadelphia drew big crowds and lots of close encounters with the leader of the world's 1.2 billion Roman Catholics. It also made quite an impact on the ham bands.
The number of contacts were really incredible. The band conditions weren't that great while the event went on, or we probably would have made more.
That's Jim Nitzberg, WX3B, from the Potomac Valley Radio Club, one of the coordinators of the special event stations put on the air by amateurs in the Mid-Atlantic region.
The number of contacts that we made are just shy of 27,000, and that's on a various array of high-frequency bands, VHF bands, internet / ham radio communications, satellite communications, and Earth-Moon-Earth communications.
He says there was a lot of interest in the Pope's special event stations once they hit the air September 22nd. They were on the air until the Pope was wheels up out of Philadelphia on September 27th. Even the Vatican station got on the air for a short period to take part.
I saw them active on our DX spotting networks, and they were on 17 meters. It was during one of the last days of the event, so that must have been really exciting for those that got to make contact with them.
Now it's time to begin answering all the requests for QSLs and certificates.
We have several hundred requests for cards, several hundred award certificates that have been printed already.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Philadelphia.
You'll find a link to QSL information in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. The ARRL is listening for a clear signal from the FCC that it's okay for hams to modify non-amateur equipment to use on the air, especially Wi-Fi network devices. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Recently proposed FCC rules affecting the authorization of RF equipment has spurred concern in some corners of the amateur community that these rules would restrict or prevent hams from going on the air with equipment they modified. The ARRL comments say, in part, quote, "The amateur radio service has a very long tradition of modification and adaptation of commercial communications equipment," end quote. The league also pressed the FCC against limiting software-defined radios to SDRs intended for use exclusively in the amateur radio service.
Ham radio operators who responded last April to the devastating earthquake in Nepal still haven't forgotten the scenes of devastation in that Himalayan nation. Again, here's Skeeter Nash.
And they are sharing the drama of that damage and the successful rescue work by recreating that experience during a puja, or Hindu worship gathering, in Kolkata. Members of the West Bengal Radio Club will demonstrate how ham operations assisted the distressed area on April 25th and how the radio amateurs' operations in the days afterward helped restore stability. Organizers say the experience will be recreated with a simulated earthquake of a very low magnitude, courtesy of special light and sound effects, accompanied by vibrating motors. Says Anupam Das, one of the organizers, quote, "As one steps into the tunnel at the entrance, they will feel slight tremors. When they pass through, a scene of devastation will lie before them. But our theme is not the damage itself, rather, how India helped Nepal in rescue and relief. Our theme is humanity," end quote. The Amateur Radio Club's secretary, Ambarish Nag Biswas, says amateurs who were present to assist in the search and rescue in Nepal will be conducting the live demonstration. The quake caused widespread damage and was responsible for the deaths of thousands.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Milner, WB2REM, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, Mark Abramovich, NT3V, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And we do not have any solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove this week because she's been a little bit busy celebrating her birthday. Monday was her birthday, so she's taking some time off to hang out with her family and celebrate another trip around the sun, as it were. So we hope to get her back next week. So Dr. T, happy birthday. We've got some great advertisers here on Ham Nation. Of course, we've got Harry's. We've got DX Engineering. We'll hear about them a little bit later on. But here's another fine advertiser. Let's hear a little bit about ICOM.
The fall season kicks off a fun time of the year. Contesting. Whether you just jump in for a few hours or plan your week around the weekend strategy, ICOM has you covered. Contesting on a budget? Check out the IC7410, 32-bit floating-point DSP unit, all-mode, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM, and plus 30 dBm third-order intercept point to clearly receive the weakest signals. ICOM's IC7600 has your window to the contest, the spectrum scope, LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display, dual watch on the same band, advanced DSP technology, and 3 IF roofing filters. For low power category performance, just drop down the power to meet your low power requirements with ICOM's IC7700. Spectrum waterfall display on an impressive 7-inch color LCD, audioscope function for AF observation, and direct remote control operation with ICOM's RS-BA1 software. And with ICOM's IC7851, when running with the big boys, you'll be leading the pack with all the pile-up braking frequency running tools at your fingertips. 1.2 kHz optimum roofing filter, new local oscillator design with improved phase noise, and several spectrum scope enhancements. Make sure you visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's selection of contesting rigs.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great ICOM swag prizes like T-shirts and hats and a lot more. And while you're there, you can also learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing, which is always a radio. For October, it's going to be the ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver. It's a switchable VHF UHF dual band radio, 50 watts on each band. It's got D-Star, wideband receive, weather alert, and free downloadable cloning software, plus a lot more. It's the D-Star radio that I use. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And I got a couple of things to give away here tonight. The first one is this Hall HMM hand mic, which I hope you can see it. My video's not that great tonight due to some internet issues, but I asked a question last week. What is the name of a circuit that generates a signal of a desired frequency? And your choices were A, reactance modulator, B, product detector, C, low-pass filter, or D, oscillator. And let me do something about that. Sorry about that. Left the phone off the hook. So what's the answer? Well, we had a lucky winner in that Cheryl, KE0BTG, and Cheryl said it's D, an oscillator. You're correct, Cheryl, so we'll be sending you this Hall HMM hand mic. You're going to love it. For next week, we've got another prize here. We're going to give away a DX Engineering hat. If you'd like to win that, then I've got another question here off the Amateur Radio Technician Exam. And that is, what is the term that describes a transistor's ability to amplify a signal? Just a moment.
I just hope it's not the cable company calling you.
I do, too. It's off the hook, so they're listening to me now. Anyway, okay. What is the term used to describe a transistor's ability to amplify a signal? It's A, gain. B, forward resistance, C, forward voltage drop, or D, on resistance. So if you think you know the term that describes a transmitter's ability to amplify a signal, send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win a DX Engineering hat. Well, Bob, I understand you've been out doing some work with that new Comet antenna analyzer.
I have. I did this about a month ago. Al Gallo came over, he and my good friend Cliff Allen in Springfield, and we cranked the tower down and took off some 2-meter Yagis and put up this new Comet tri-bander. Man, it works great. But I also got the new Comet analyzer, and I had it on a few weeks ago, but you couldn't see the screen. So let's run this little video of what happens. This is an amazing analyzer. Not only does it do the meters like all the rest, but when you start doing the test on your antenna, it takes off and actually draws a graph. And you can see here the meters are moving slowly. That's normally. But look what happens to the graph down at the bottom. It draws its own graph. And when you're all done, you actually have a curve of the SWR. Is that cool or what? I'm really excited about it. And there it is when it's finished. Isn't that neat? So you have the meters, of course, to tell you what's going on, but you have the graph. That's really super. But here's what we did. There in the good old meadow outside my my station in Springfield, lowered the tower and made it happen. So go ahead and roll that, Brian. It was a nice day. It wasn't real hot and wasn't real cold. So let her roll. And I got the package outside the door one day, and that's how it comes in a tube. And I opened it all up, got it all cooking,
pulled it out, and of course got the things happening there with the instructions. You got to do the instructions. It's very important. And one thing that's very important about this is that you have to make sure that you catch this little part. And it's in a little package all of its own, but it's very important. You could lose it real easy, so make sure you find that. We're going to need that later to put the radios on. But what we did here, that was a tower as I've had it for a few years. And we lowered that baby, and that's a U.S. tower. It's really great. It's a monopole antenna tower. That one's 55 foot, and then there's 10 foot on top of it. And there's Al cranking her down, and when we get her down to the ground, why, we took the top 2 meter Yagi off. So I just don't do much on single sideband, and I needed that space for the vertical. So we took those babies off, and handed it down to Cliff, and now we could put the old vertical up there. Now, there wasn't anything to do to the vertical but put it together, screw the radials in. You do have to tune the 6 meter radial, but that's real easy, and you do that with that bolt I sold you. That's really important that you don't lose that little package. And there we are, putting her back up. They were so much help, Cliff and Al. They're just great friends. And we cranked her back up, and that's a wonderful tower. That whole tower turns. The rotor's down at the bottom. It's just a Yaesu, not even the heavy Yaesu rotor, because it sits on a thrust bearing, and it just works great. And I'm really excited about this tri-band vertical, because with one piece of coax and the triplexer that comes with it, why, you can get, you saw the SWR on 2 meters. It's really good. Same thing on 440 and the same thing on 6 meters at the center frequency. And it just works great. But this will allow me to get on 440, and I don't have to have a whole lot of other antennas. So that it really worked great. It's a wonderful piece from Comet. But that analyzer is something. It's brand new. Check it out. CAA 500 is the model number. And boy, if you're playing with antennas, that's the baby. It really does a nice job. And you could get that from DX Engineering. And here we're going to talk to Don, or Don's going to talk to us about how you can call DX Engineering. And you could, if you order it right now, you'll have it tomorrow. Is that right, Don?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if that thing is in stock, because they ship faster than just about anybody. A high-performance station needs more than a good radio and antenna setup. You need to outfit your shack with high-quality accessories. And I wish I could show you the stuff that I've got here in my shack from DX Engineering. I've got a DX Engineering mouse pad. I've got the 24-hour clock in front of me. I've got a note cube, you know, because you're always having to write stuff down. I've got, you know, a hat. I've got a pen. I've got all kinds of cool shack accessories from DX Engineering. Yeah. Now, whether we're talking about mobile, portable, or base, they give you everything you need to outfit your station. Some of the crucial components include headsets, specifically tailored to amateur radio application. And some dude nobody's ever heard of named Heil makes these great headsets. They're lightweight, they're versatile, and you can stay comfortable for hours and hours of outdoor operating. The Heil headsets have microphone elements that give you excellent on-the-air clarity. I mean, what else would you expect from a Heil microphone? And these headsets are padded for comfort. They're built to survive in harsh operating environments. You're going to love your Heil headset. And they also carry headsets from Prime Radio. Prime is the same stuff used in professional surveillance and government operations. In fact, the little thing that I use here on the show, I believe it came from Prime. I'm not sure, but it's a little almost like a covert operator earpiece. It clips to the back of my shirt, and then it's got a microphone on it, and the little hollow tube that goes into my ear. Speakers back here on the back of my shirt. And they have all kinds of stuff like that at DX Engineering. The Prime stuff is durable, lightweight, well-suited for portable and MCOM as well. And you can visit dxengineering.com. See the entire range of Prime and Heil and all the other amateur radio headsets that they sell. You can also get Rig Expert digital interfaces from DX Engineering. These things link your radio to your computer to give you rig control, keying, audio interface capabilities, and a whole lot more. They're a must-have if you want to start operating digitally. You got to have the computer talking to the radio. They're compatible with all the digital modes, including CW, RTTY, and digital voice. Digital internet connectivity means your PC essentially becomes your station. And the interfaces also open up remote control capabilities. Of course, Val will be on a little bit later on to talk about all kinds of cool stuff. But anyway, the TI-7 uses a standard USB connection, while the WT-1 can connect your PC via a Wi-Fi network. You can also outfit your shack with, like I said earlier, the official DX Engineering gear and approval. I'm wearing a DX Engineering shirt tonight. You can't see it, but it's a really cool shirt. They have all kinds of T-shirts and polo shirts available in men's, women's, sizes, styles, tote bag. You can get your Hamfest handouts, a little QRP radio, your HT, your Field Day munchies. Then there's the sport bag. Great for travel. Hold everything from spare cables and tools to a change of clothes and extra shoes. They even have an umbrella because, you know, it usually rains on Field Day. It's perfect for keeping the sun and the rain off of your neck during Field Day. We know about that. Also, it could perhaps, I don't know how it would do on the errant jar of flying pickle relish, but nonetheless, I think I've told that story a time or two. But anyway, you got to have all your DX Engineering stuff, and DX Engineering will ship faster than anybody else in the industry. If you call them and you get your ground order in by 10 o'clock tonight Eastern time, Monday through Friday, as a matter of fact, and if it's in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way that day. When I was at DX Engineering last week, they took me through the whole shipping thing, and DX Engineering is affiliated with a company that's been around a long, long time called Summit Racing. If you're a hot rodder, you know about Summit. And Summit is known for fast shipping. Well, DX is kind of riding on the backbone of all of the infrastructure that Summit has had for decades. And that is why they are so good at shipping. So good at everything. The attention to detail. I was back in the back watching them put those coax cables together, the custom coax cables. In fact, the lady who was soldering the PL plug on, she said, "Here, look at this. That solder doesn't look quite right. I'm gonna reflow that. It's fine electrically, but I don't like the way it looks." And so she reflowed it, and then put it under the heat table. A little looked like a pizza oven kind of. It ran under the heater to shrink all the shrink wrap down, which of course has the glue in it. And she's looking at it, and she goes, "I don't like that either. That shrink wrap ought to go all the way to the end." And I couldn't see that there was anything wrong, but she reheated it and snugged it all the way to the end. That's the attention to detail that is everywhere from the top guy, Tim Duffy, down to the newest hire at DX Engineering. They're all just rabid about quality, control, and attention to detail, and it shows. It shows DX Engineering in everything they do, and they will help you shrink the globe. Grab your brand new fall catalog. Or you can shop online 24/7, dxengineering.com/hamnation. DX Engineering, thank you so much, for bringing me to Ohio last week. That was way too much fun. I'm still kind of aglow and a Twitter from all that. But also thank you for your support of Ham Nation. Couldn't do it without fine advertisers like DX Engineering. Val, I'm going to go bye-bye because no one can see me anyway. So I shall toss to you and say, good night, my friends, and hopefully I will see you next week.
Nice job, Don. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Well, it is fall, and you know that means DXing and contesting. And one good thing to have in your arsenal is good receiving antennas. So I put together this little video just for you guys. This is?
Can you guess who this is?
Well, that is Harold H. Beveridge, also known as Bev. He was an engineer, and he was responsible for 42 patents. Most relevant to us would be the Beveridge antennas, and you see he's got a bunch of them there. So let's get started. If you want to do some Beveridge antennas, you're going to need to set some posts. First thing you're going to want to figure out is which direction you want to receive from, and make sure you take a compass out there with you. And you're going to need to set some posts. Now, you can use metal or wood, and you're going to want to set them about 100 feet apart. Now, we use metal, so we want to use an insulator of PVC pipe. Now, we also have a plastic stop about 4 inches in, and then we drill two holes at the very top to run the wire through. Now, you can see he's going to feed about 14-gauge stranded insulated wire. That's what works best for us up here where it gets very snowy and icy. And you just string it through those holes at the top. So it's you're about a foot insulated from where the metal is on the fence post. And then you're just going to run that wire through all the posts once they're set and go all the way down. Now, we usually run our single wire beverages about 880 to 1,000 feet long because we live on a farm. But you can get away with 300 feet for an 80-meter beverage or 500 feet for a 160-meter beverage. Now, here's where the wire begins on the beverage antenna. If you notice, this post we have at an angle, and that's because there's going to be so much tension at that wire. This is the best way to keep it as stable as possible. And at the top there, if you can see that round button thing, that's a porcelain insulator, and that's where the wire begins, and we have it wrapped around, and then one wire goes out, and that's going to feed through all the PVC pipe, the holes in the PVC pipe on all those posts. And then the other wire is going to go into the single direction beverage feed system there by DX Engineering. And then if you look at that red wire at the very bottom on the left there, that wire is going to go into a ground rod we have. Now if you look at back at that feed point transformer, you see that yellow jumper, that's about 20 feet of RG6. Now that's going to run to our beverage hub. Now, our beverage hub is about 1,000 feet from the shack, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One reason is you want to keep it away from your transmit antennas because you don't want the RF from those transmit antennas getting into your beverages, feeding back into your shack. And the other reason is you want to keep this as close to where all your beverage antennas begin. Now, since your beverage antennas are going in every direction, obviously it's going to be away from the shack. Now in this beverage hub, you can see we have four runs of half-inch cable TV hardline, and that's 75 ohm, and it's very cheap but very effective. We also have six runs of RG11 in there, which is also 75 ohm. Now the reason for the extra runs is, since these are all buried underground and with varmints chewing away and whatever happens, if you're going to bury four, you might as well bury 10. That way you have backup. And if you want, you could just have one run going out to the beverage hub and use a remote antenna switch. Now, since right outside this beverage hub is where all the beverage antennas begin, it would be simple to just have one ground rod and have all the beverages ground to that rod. Although if they ground to the same rod, you're going to create a loop. So each beverage should have their own ground rod at the beginning and at the end. Now this is the end of the beverage, or where you terminate it, to a 470 ohm resistor. And this needs to be grounded as well. This is what makes it a one direction beverage. It keeps the signals from the sides and the back from getting through. Now Jerry and I are experimenting with this two wire pixel system. Now the difference between the two wire system and the one wire system, which is what I just showed you, with the two wire system, it is one directional, but with a flip of a switch in the shack, you can have a beverage receiving antenna in the opposite direction, or 180 degrees. Now, this antenna is made out of RG6, and the center conductor in there is going in one direction, and the outer conductor is going in the other direction. Now, ours is 1,000 feet long, and you have to put the feed point transformer somewhere in that antenna line. It could be in the middle or towards one of the ends. So this could be ideal for some of you out there that want a beverage but have a challenging layout. And both ends need to terminate to the reflection transformers and then to ground again. And that's what the two-wire pixel looks like from afar. And now we'll look at our DX Engineering reversible beverage system, or two-wire system, which you can find on page 84 of your latest DX Engineering catalog. So for this one, we're using 450 ohm ladder line. And to help support that ladder line, we're stringing 1,000 feet of non-stretch 3/16 inch polyester rope. And we're going to tape the ladder line to the rope every 3 to 4 feet or so. We're also using the same setup as our one wire system with the posts and the PVC pipe in order to string the rope. And the one end of the ladder line gets connected to the reflective transformer, which is terminated to ground. And here's what it looks like when the ladder line is taped to the rope. And the other end of the beverage goes into the DX Engineering feed point system, which is also grounded. And you can see the RG6 jumpers there. They're about 3 to 4 feet long. And those get fed into 500 feet of RG11, which go from the jumpers to the shack. And there's a look at it from afar. And our last receiving antenna that we have is a Mini 4 Square receiving antenna system that we got from DX Engineering. And if you look at the top, you're going to see the control box. And below that, all that tightly coiled cable, those are actually delay lines. And there's four of those. And then the larger wound coil at the bottom is an abundance of multi-conductor control cable. And we leave that much abundance there just in case we want to move the system. Now, what's nice about the Foursquare, this is a switchable in four directions. You can go northeast, southwest, northwest, and southeast. We have ours optimized for 80 and 160. With doing that, we keep each element 98 feet apart. So it's a perfect 98-foot square. And the four antennas are only about 102 inches high. And you can see one there on the far right. And on this photo, you can see the other three, the one in the foreground and then the one on the left and the right. And it forms a perfect square. Now, this is one of four active antennas. You can see where the 102-inch whip comes up at the top on the right there. And each one is bolted to an 8-foot ground rod. Now, do you remember the two-wire pixel system that I showed you earlier on where you just flip a switch in the ham shack and it'll do a 180-degree reversal on your receive? Well, here is the control box for that. And here's a look at our receiving antenna switches. Now let's look at the far right box first. Now since each of the one wire receiving antennas that we laid out has their own hard line like I showed you in that beverage hub, they each get their own position on this antenna switch. And if you put the switch all the way to left box, that's going to go over to this left box here. So now on this left box, if you look at that first slot that says 60 degrees, that's actually our Wanda Nova beverage. He actually strung a beverage straight to Wanda Nova, which is technically 75 degrees. It's still labeled 60 degrees because last year that was the Tromelin beverage. And then above that is the Southwest Northeast beverage. That's a two-wire pixel that I showed you. Now, when you put it on the four-square switch, that'll take you up to the four-square switching box. So when you put that beverage switch over to the four-square, then you can come up here to the control box and control which direction you want to listen on. And here's a look at some of the products we use here on the antenna farm for our receiving antennas that we know work. I can tell you they work because Jerry has 314 countries on 160 and 338 on 80. And for those of you that have the time and the wherewithal, you can always build your own. There's plenty of plans out there. All right. Now, I know it seems like a lot of work, and you don't really need all that space. Ours are 1,000 feet long because we live on an 80-acre farm, so we have the space. But you can get away, like I said, with 300 feet if you're doing a beverage or receiving antenna for 80 meters or 500 feet for 160. So hopefully you guys can get out there and set up a beverage. They're also nice to set up for field day. We set them up for field day as well. It really helps you to cut down on a lot of the noise. They're nearer the ground, so they don't pick up the atmospheric noise and or any of the man-made noise. And plus, it's directional. So like he has them strung to certain DX expeditions, so you can really hear well because it's aimed right there. So hopefully that helps you guys out. And if you go put up some beverages, I'd love to hear all about it. This weekend, we've got the biggest contest of the year coming up, if you want to show that first slide. CQ Worldwide Sideband is this weekend. And that runs October 24th through the 25th at 23:59. So it's a 48-hour contest. In my time zone, that's actually going to start Saturday or Friday night at 7 o'clock and go to 6:59 on Sunday night. And it's a really great contest. There's going to be last year there was close to 8,000 logs submitted. So there's about 8,000 operators on the air or operations on the air. And you can easily get DXCC in one weekend. And I don't know if you guys remember, last year I showed you Don Whiteman, KK9 Hotel. He went out Sunday morning using just his K3, you know, a very simple antenna, a Heil headset, a paper log, and 100 watts, and he worked 103 countries in less than 6 hours from Midwest. So it can be done. So those of you out there chasing countries, this is a great time to get on the air. Plus, there's a lot of countries in position now. You can see some of these here listed that are coming up this weekend. Like Don was saying, Cuba's going to be on the air. So there's some great countries there, Macau, Marshall Islands. Lots of good stuff out there. A lot of it will be on. They'll be on the air this weekend. Also, one not listed there is one I know I need for an all-time new one, and that's United Nations HQ 4 Uniform 70UN. They're celebrating their or commemorating their 70th anniversary of the UN. So there's going to be an operation going on from UNHQ, which a lot of people need for an all-time new one. So make sure you get out there and work those guys, too. I might have to take a little departure from the contest to do that. And I will be out there this weekend. We're going to be doing a multi-single operation. And there'll be male operators as well as me. So if you hear some guys using my call sign, don't be alarmed. It's still us. Also, I want to send out a plea. Do you guys remember I had K3LP on the air about a month or so ago, and they're doing that de-expedition to South Georgia and South Sandwich, two different DXCC entities. Now, this de-expedition's well over $400,000. Well, they're short. They need your help. So if you plan on donating after the de-expedition, I'm asking if you could probably send them a donation now instead. A lot of the clubs kind of came up short for them this time. So, and it's kind of a mystery why that's happening, because this is a two de-expeditions in one. So if you go to that intrepid-dx.com/VP8, help those guys out there. They could really use your help with funding now instead of after the de-expedition. And that's all I've got for this week, but it's going to be a busy weekend. If you hear me out there, make sure you work me. It's an easy exchange for CQ Worldwide Sideband. It's your call sign, your signal report, and your CQ zone. So I'll be NV9L594. So hopefully I can work you guys on the air. If not, you guys have a great Halloween, and I'm going to send it over to Amanda.
Well, thank you, Val. And actually, you answered a couple of our questions. I had the question, what is the exchange for this weekend? Because I always get so nervous that I'm not going to do it right. And I always wonder, am I supposed to add a cereal at the end? Am I supposed to, you know, I get really confused about that and I get nervous. So thank you so much for that.
Yep. No serial numbers, just your CQ zone.
Okay. And we can find the CQ zones if we don't know what our CQ zone is, where? Just Google it.
You can just Google CQ zone, and it gives a U.S. or a whole world map of all 40 okay. zones, and you can just find most of U.S. is what, 3 or 4 and 5, maybe.
I think it's three, four, and five. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty easy. It's probably on your QRZ page. If you go into the details section of your QRZ page, once you put in your address and coordinates, it might have automatically put that in there for you.
Oh, good call. And you know, I should know.
And I know you're going to be on the air, so you better work me and I'll work you.
I don't want to hear you beating me out anymore. Last year, I almost had a meltdown.
There's
going to
be five of us. Poor you, you're going to be in the chair 48 hours straight, right?
No, I heard you. And I'm trying to work a station. I can't even remember where it is. Probably not an important one, but you always won. I always hear November
well,
Victor
saw,
come back.
You saw my antenna farm, so you probably know why. But I heard you're moving, so maybe you'll move on to bigger and better and more.
I'm really hoping so. Yeah, we are. Right now we're using a G5 RV on a 50-foot tower, and we are moving on to a half an acre. So hopefully, and we have a tri-bander to put up there. So I'm really excited about that, actually.
Yeah. There cool. you go. There's your, there you yeah. go. So most people are fours, it looks like. But yeah, it's pretty easy. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And you kind of answered the question. Bob had the question for you about why use a beverage antenna. And you pretty much answered that because it's quiet. It can pick up anything.
Oh, yeah. It really
from
cuts
anywhere.
Down on noise. I mean, I've even used beverages at times for 20 meters and it helped me to hear certain signals. So, now, yeah. I mean, it takes a while to flip through these buttons and try the four, you know, and move all over till you get the guy. But once you
hone in on which receiving antenna works best, man. What a difference between that and your regular transmit antenna. Night and day.
I would just have to say you kind of have to be a little bit more with it because you have to remember to switch back to your transmitting antenna.
Your radio automatically does that. If you hit the antenna until it says 1R, it'll automatically transmit on your transmit antenna and automatically let you, when you're done transmitting, it goes to the receive antenna. So you'll be listening on receive. As soon as you hit that foot switch, it goes back to your transmit antenna. You don't have to worry about it. Almost all radios will do that. If you just hit that antenna button until you see a 1R.
That's a good option. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. And let me see. Gordo, I actually have a question for you tonight.
I'm ready. You
are ready. Okay. WA5AZQ Michael would like to know. He says he has a rookie question. And I think this is an excellent question because where do we start in ham radio when we get our tickets, our technician license? We start on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. So he wants to know, what is a good dual band antenna for his truck? What length should it be? And should it have a coil or not? Just give us the rundown on what would be the best antenna for a vehicle for a dual bander.
Well, normally the two bands that most new hams get started on would be the 2 meter band, 144 to 148, and the 70 centimeter band, 440 to 450. DX Engineering and others have wonderful dual band antennas. They look like a whip with a little curly Q in the center, and the entire antenna works on 2 meters, and each part of that antenna also works on 440. It uses the truck body as the ground, and even a mag mount from DX Engineering will provide a great enough ground. Run the coax into either a dual band mobile or a dual band handheld, and you're on the air with 2 meters and 440 to get started. And then once you think, well, this is pretty cool, what's my next step? Next step would be an HF radio and 10 meters voice, 28.3 to 28.5. There's so much activity down there, Amanda, that they'll be hooked for good. But 2 meters, 440. First radio to stay local and meet up with the clubs and learn what the local repeaters are, including IRLP, Echolink, and working the International Space Station, too. Back to you.
Absolutely. Now, just in case this guy wants to go visit McDonald's or Burger King, can you tell me how long that antenna is? Is he going to be able to fit through?
I'm very happy to report that most dual band 2 meter 440 whips are not much longer than about 18 inches. So about this long, well, there we go, a little bit longer, and they'll cover the band well and also get you under the golden arches.
Very good. That's going to thrill everybody. Just don't put them through the car wash. And don't do what I've done before and take it off and go through the car wash and forget to put it back on and start transmitting. That's not a good idea. I have one more thing here, you guys. Happy birthday, Val. Oh, we're all Libras.
Yay.
We really are.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Val.
Yeah, thanks.
That is why I
didn't want to announce it, but that's okay.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
We have Bob first, and then me, and then Dawn, and then you all in October. That's why we get along
and
fantastically.
Tabitha.
Oh, and Tabitha, right? Too. Okay. Yeah. That's
and
awesome.
I'm really sorry I'm not down in Springfield, or I'd fire up the big organ for you and play happy birthday.
Oh, that would be nice.
I'm not there, so we can't do that. But happy birthday. And I must say publicly, I'm really proud of what you're doing. And I know that guy that's, I think he's sitting in front of you, but somewhere around there, I know he's really proud of what you're doing too. You're just an amazing lady on ham radio. And I'm glad that your portion of all your knowledge is being shared here on Ham Nation. So thanks a lot,
well,
Valerie. It's really cool.
It's not a hobby. It's an addiction. So what can I say?
That's great. Well, we're proud of you. Well, I think we're pretty much wound up for tonight, and had a few little glitches along the way, but I think we made it to the end, so we'll get ready for next year. Anybody have any frequencies that are happening so far on the AfterNet? 40 meters? 20 meters?
14,268 for 20 meters for sure.
Okay.
Oh, and don't forget to send your show me your shack videos to Dale. He's going to be on next week, and he needs his your show me his your shack videos.
Yes. Try to keep those to 2 to 3 minutes, no longer. That's really important. And we
and
really need
72.78 for 40, it sounds like, or thereabouts.
Yeah, got it. And Cheryl might be down on 38.47. So there you go. And the usual EchoLink and all that, they're going to be on their frequencies. And I think you all probably know those. So thanks a lot for being here tonight. We're always glad to have you pass the word. We're thrilled to have you in the audience. And we love seeing your comments and emails. Keep us informed of what's going on and how we can help you here on Ham Nation. So thanks very much, everybody. 7-3, we'll see you right back here next Wednesday. And, of course, it's all on the replays. So 24-7, we have so many people say, well, I can't be there on Wednesday. Nah, just put Ham Nation into Google, two words, and you'll be there. All 218 programs will be ready for you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching, and appreciate all of the knowledge that was brought to you tonight by our hosts, co-hosts, and friends, and all of that good stuff. And greetings to the chat room. From Fairview Heights, Illinois, this is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.
Yeah.